All right, welcome to another episode of Midnight FPL, where we're going to be discussing double game weeks galore, what to do with your teams. We're going to be discussing which footballers would be the best at American football, because that's going to be helpful, and answering your questions, and as always, so much more. So, Sam, how was your game week? Three-word review, as always.
Awful, shite, shit.
Joel, I'm guessing something similar.
Yeah, same as Sam, pretty much. Just awful.
Please score Bamford, could be yours.
Yeah, well, it depends. If I need Bamford to score about 5 goals to kind of rescue my week, but it's been pretty shocking, apart from that. So yeah, another fat red arrow is getting bad.
So mine is why bench Martinez will be my 3-word review, because I bought in Nick Pope to try and be clever and get ahead of his good fixtures, but alas, always start Martinez because he does well and Arsenal is shit. Sam, so you saw Madison do a funny interview once and you decided you're going to captain him every week. How's that turned out for you?
Well, the reality is, like, he's had a good week that I haven't captained him.
I was thinking that. It was only against Fulham where you didn't captain him.
Which is just so fucking frustrating. But what can you do?
And Wolves have been... I thought it was actually a decent shout, because Wolves have been so bad recently.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Although they did beat Arsenal, but Arsenal had 10 men for most of the game.
Yeah, they would have lost that if Luiz hadn't been sent off.
Yeah, but unlucky.
Unlucky. So I'm on 58 points with Bamford and Dallas to play. So I got Son captain, which is good. And then the normal people, Calvert-Lewin was the other good shout. The rest of it, pretty dreadful. And Suchet got sent off for raising his arm, which is just a load of fucking shit.
I got Calvert-Lewin first on my bench as well, which is just worse. He would almost double my game week score. But yeah, anyway, he's on my bench. I feel like a lot of people have had this problem recently, but yeah, Pete.
Reflecting upon failure, there's no point in that. So instead, we look forward, won't we, Joel? Drive. So next week, we've got an interesting week, because Everton, Fulham, Burnley and Man City have double game weeks. Samuel Storey, what are you going to be doing to your team with your two free transfers?
I think it would be ludicrous not to bring in Calvert-Lewin. The problem is I've got Ings, Bamford and Antonio up front. They're all pretty even attackers and all capable of getting points. But I think Antonio has been so awful in his actual general gameplay. I know he's got points, but his general gameplay, that I think it has to be Antonio that goes out. And I'd recommend anyone else does that, because I just think at the moment he looks really bad.
Also because the other two have... Because Ings will have a double game the week afterwards as well, so it does make sense.
And Luca Dean as well, I think.
Yeah, love Luca Dean.
I think it just the attacking propensity he has, I think, can't be denied. And Everton are a pretty decent team as well, so you've got a decent chance of clean sheets as well. And when they're playing twice, you know, even if he doesn't get a clean sheet, blanks twice, he'll still get 4 points. So, Luca Dean, yeah.
Ambitious. I like Luke. The things I love, defenders where you don't have to rely on them purely for clean sheets, because it's just boring when you go for like a Diaz, and whereas a Digne could get you a massive haul.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like those. Joel?
Well, I only have one free transfer, and I think I'm going to keep it simple and bring in Gundogan into my midfield somewhere. Which is really annoying, because I wanted him in my team when he was 5.5 before everyone kind of like hyped him up. And now he's scored about like 50 points and I haven't had him in my team. And he's going to be, by the time I bring him in, he's going to be worth 6. So, but like, he's scoring loads. The position he gets into is so good on the pitch. He's in the kind of like, is it the 6-yard box all the time? And they've got City have got a double as well. So for this week and for long term, I think he's definitely a good option.
See, I'm going to bring him in, probably. I don't know. I still not. you said Gundogan way before it was cool, like way before he'd even scored a goal, and me and Sam laughed at you, and now it's just like it's actually the best shout you've done since you bought in. Do you remember, Joel, this is a tangent, but you bought in Harry Kane because you saw him play well in the Europa League once, and he hadn't even had a Premier League start, and you
was four
or something. That's the best thing I've ever done.
It was Harry Kane's first season at Spurs, and he was worth 4.5, and he scored. He scored a hat-trick in Europa, and I brought him in, and then he scored like 20 goals in the second half of the season.
I remember that.
That was one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
best thing you've
team,
ever done
your life. Team's value must have been through the roof at the end.
No, it was. But it's. I mean, it's annoying because I think it was before the Chelsea game. Maybe 2 game weeks before the Chelsea game, I watched City a bit, and Gundogan was getting really far forward. And it was at a time when everyone was chatting about De Bruyne, and I was like, I can't afford De Bruyne. Is there a good alternative? And I thought 5.5, absolute steal, but didn't bring him in, and so it's not really worth it. But I'm gonna have to get him in now.
And now it will have the Joel kiss of death, and he won't score again.
I know. But anyway, it feels like it's one of those things that you've got to do, because otherwise you'd be stupid not to, I think.
But Sam's not going to, by the sound of it.
Well, I say Luka Dean because that's my position at the moment, but I obviously have considered Gundogan. I just think it's annoying because I'm so easily influenced by the price tag. Like, if this was the start of the next season and Gundogan was like 8 mil, Souchek was 9 mil, I'd be thinking I need them in my team. But I'm sort of thinking, genuinely, it's so bad. I look at Souchek and think 5.4 or whatever he is, Gundogan 5.9, and I know they're great players, I know how dangerous they are, but it just doesn't compute that they're actually, you know, not blanking almost every single week and just as effective as anyone of Salah, De Bruyne, Kane, Son. So why the hell do I not have them? And that's a big lesson that I've learned over the last few weeks.
But I still, I agree. But it's kind of like also like resigning yourself to admitting you were wrong when you have to bring in players like Gundogan. I just don't, that's like the reluctance is like, you think it's a purple patch, but.
That's why Joel is like 1,500,000 in the world, because he doesn't so often.
Anyway, we'll move forward to the dilemma of the week, which is, and I'm going to ask Sam this because I trust him more. Calvert-Lewin, Fulham at home, Man City at home, Gundogan, Tottenham at home, Everton away, Fernandes, West Brom away. They're probably the three people who everyone will consider as captain. Who will you go for?
I was thinking coming into this week that although we have these four double game weeks, four teams, like no one really looks that good apart from, I mean, I'd have a City player if Gundogan was worth like 8 mil, but I just can't imagine captaining a 5.9 player. And the thing is, he plays like so often, he plays like really deep and then he'll suddenly play really like far up the pitch. It's so hard to predict which sort of role he's going to play.
Just on when Jesus played, so Jesus didn't play against, and that's why he's doing better in big games, because that happened against Chelsea as well, where they didn't play a striker, so he plays as a false nine.
So if Jesus plays, then not Gundogan. If he does play, then potentially Gundogan. But I think personally, I think the call is Fernandes, because we know how good he is away from home. He's had a good couple last couple of game weeks, scored a brilliant goal in this game week, actually, he's still going. And I just think West Brom, they look terrible. Surely they're gone now. You almost think that they're surely just going to give up mentally. I think Fernandes, if I'm honest. And I don't think Calvert-Lewin purely because I just think Man City, I can't imagine them doing a lot against City.
And then Fulham have looked solid as well. So,
yeah, well, it sounds like a joke, but it's true.
But Fulham are class. I mean, like, if you actually, like, against West Ham, they completely outplayed them. They can't fucking score.
Yeah, we can't score. I don't want to dwell on it because it makes me feel ill. But yeah, we can't score. But don't captain anyone who's playing against Fulham. I think a number of people captain Antonio, and like Joel played Antonio over Calvert-Lewin because he assumed Fulham had a bad defence because they're in relegation zone.
Captained Antonio as well.
It's pure stupidity. It's stupidity. Mm-hmm. And what it exposes is the fact that you don't watch football.
Well, Fulham's underlying stats, what people were saying, have been a lot worse in the last few games against Leicester and stuff. But when I watched them play, since they signed Joachim Andersen, they just look so they look like a genuinely competent Premier League side, where West Brom look a fucking shambles, and that's why I'd go.
Yeah, you're right.
But the thing that you said, Sam, about Vigne is if Calvert-Lewin blanks twice, he gets four. So that's like the, which is still not the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? Like doubles are just so appealing because of that.
Yeah, completely agree. And then you get 8 points. That's still not too bad. And there's a decent chance of getting an assist as well. But, you know, I just think Fernandes is the call. I know it makes sense to captain someone in a double game week, but I just really feel like it's Fernandes.
Yeah, I agree. Also, haven't West Brom conceded an insane amount of goals at home this season?
I think they conceded two or more goals in all of the last 7 or 8 games. Or
yeah, their last home games are 2-2 with Fulham, 5-0 to City, 4-0 to Arsenal, 5-0 to Leeds, 3-0 to... And we're talking about like a pretty informed United team, with like, especially with Cavani up top now as well. You can see them winning. You can see it being like an absolute pounding, like 4-5-0. There's no way Fernandes isn't getting involved. And even if it is a single, I still think it's probably the better option. But also, I've seen a few people on Twitter talking about captaining Pope or Burnley defenders, and I wondered if that's a bit of a trap.
Just don't. That's just like... Take your Pope clean sheet and that's fine if it happens, but you don't count because, goals. It's boring more than anything. You have to sit there and watch a game of Burnley Palace and just hope for it. It's just going to be excruciating when they concede.
Yeah,
They were home to
Brighton, which you think, oh yeah, fair kind of clean sheet, and they didn't get one there. So even if they've got all right fixtures, it's just relying on a clean sheet, I think, is too risky.
I think you've got to look deeper as well into these fixtures, and especially with the Burnley Fulham game. Fulham have been so bad offensively, and they need to win. They absolutely have to win a game now, especially against Burnley, who are 17th. And I cannot see Fulham not scoring, even though they've been bad going forward lately. I think they'll start the new striker. I think they'll play way more offensively. And if we haven't scored by, say, 55, 60th minute, I think we'll bring on a second striker, have Mitrovic on there. I think we'll go to score. I really can't imagine us not scoring. And therefore, I think I just Pope. You're just looking at the fixtures. You're not looking any deeper than that.
Yeah,
I agree. Palace don't have Zaha. It could keep with goalkeepers. It just takes like Brighton barely looked like scoring. Then Dunk just popped up with a header. Like that just happens. Yeah. Like, it's just. Unless you're Man City, you can't really count for clean sheets. Anyway, we've talked about this for too long. We need to talk about more in-depth issues. And we'll do that next on our differential section. All right, it's differential o'clock. We have put the caveat in that they all have to have a double game week. They all have to have below 5% ownership. Other than that, you're free to do whatever the hell you like. And Joel, what have you done?
I quite like my shout this week. I've gone for Dwight McNeil from Burnley, midfielder. Normally plays like left wingish, but he's been decent recently. He's been getting in some good positions. It was the other day He got a goal and an assist. A rather lucky goal because he was a cross and it just went all the way through. Yeah, against Villa. And Burnley obviously have a double, like as we just said, like half decent fixtures. So if you're looking for a cheapish midfield option, maybe part of your bench boost or just because you want to fill your team with players that have doubles, McNeil's a good shout. Only 5.7 and only owned by 0.4%.
Just 0.2 less than Gundogan. Who would you go for, Sam?
Definitely not McNeil.
Burnley. The thing with Burnley is they're all right when they have Chris Wood out. Like he's just playing with like Matty Vidra and stuff, and it's just like even if because McNeil is good, but
I didn't realise McNeil's 21.
Yeah, he is.
He looks about 30. I couldn't believe it.
Thing is, Joel, like if I were you, I would have gone with like Barnes or Vidra over McNeil personally, because I don't think McNeil's like a good player, but how often is he involved in a goal? You're more likely to get a goal out of Barnes.
Yeah, fair point.
We slated Sam Maximan, and then he delivered a, how many points was it? 8 points at home, Southampton.
8 points, yeah.
Never doubt, Joel.
I've got a magic touch. Players, people should listen in, and whoever I say are guaranteed points.
Right. Sam.
Okay.
Can we go first? Oh, you said you had that list, but
I'm going to make two honorary mentions. I know you say, and my player is going to be from a team that has a double game week, but I'd just like to make an honorary mention for Mason Greenwood, who's looked really good the last couple of weeks and has got West Brom away, 1.9% ownership, and also Minamino, 0.3% ownership. He looked so good for Southampton the other day. I thought he was shit, and then he
even for next week, Sam, just do him next week because they've got a double.
Yeah, I was gonna say you bring him in against Wolves who don't look great at home, and then he's got a double game week after. It would be a decent move to bring him now, especially as a differential. But my differential is going to be Lookman. I have him in my team, and he's got the double game week. He's also, I'll just say he's 1.2% ownership and he's 5 mil. But he's also playing Everton, and you can imagine he'll want to prove a point against his former side. It's usually quite a big thing for players to play against a former side, so I can imagine it's a bigger game for him than it otherwise would be. And then Burnley, in a game where, as I said before, I think it's a massive thing for Fulham to at least score. You can't say we're going to win, but I think you can almost say we're going to score, because that will be our number one priority. It's not about keeping the goals out, it's about scoring goals. And Lookman always seems to be involved in everything that Fulham do well offensively. And I think it's just generally a good shout and nice and cheap as well.
Okay, like it. I've already done Lookman like 3 times this season. It's never gone well, but he is quality. I've gone for another Fulham player. And I said to Joel, I said, Dwight McNeil, 5.7 or whatever. This guy costs 5.9, so you obviously wouldn't bring him over Gundogan.
But that's the point of differentials.
Exactly. But this is actually a shout. I'm so confident it's going to come good.
I like yours.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He started the season so poorly, but he has suddenly clicked into gear. And he plays Fulham player 4-2-3-1, kind of. But Loftus-Cheek, because they play Lamina and Reed or Anguissa and Lamina or whatever, deep. Loftus-Cheek literally plays as a second striker. He had 5 shots against West Ham. Everything goes through him. He's got man of the match, or at least been up there the last 3 games. And although he hasn't been scoring goals, he can score goals, because I've been at the Stamford Bridge. I've seen him score hat-tricks in the Europa League. He can score goals. And if he clicks and he gets confidence back in front of goal, he has so many chances. And all it will take, I think, is one of those where I feel like one brings two. And if Loftus-Cheek gets properly competent, he could be the key to keep him up. And Scott Parker loves him. He plays him every game, pretty much. Tom Kearney's out injured, so I don't think he has a risk of rotation. He'll play both games. He's got 0.2% ownership. And then they've got Sheffield United at home after the double. And crucially, if you don't have a free hit or whatever, Fulham play in game week, are guaranteed to play in the blank game week 29, because they play Leeds and they're the only game where both are already out of the FA Cup. So, because Leeds went out to Crawley and Fulham went out to Burnley. So, guaranteed to play. And if you don't have a free hit, you do need to start thinking about stuff like that. Leeds and Fulham players, go target them. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, remember it. Okay, cool. That's our differentials. Nice and speedy. Also, last week, I did Rudiger and he scored an own goal. None of you brought that up, but that was a bad moment.
Yeah, I did think about that, but I forgot.
He got a clean sheet against Tottenham, which is a game I said that he conceded, and then he scored. That own goal was awful as well.
Yeah, it's terrible.
He actually played really well, though, except for that. I thought he did some good blocks. All right. Join us in the next section where we are going to be either answering your questions or doing our Salon Island, depending on what these lot think, but we'll edit that out. All right, so yesterday was the Super Bowl. I didn't stay up for it. I love all sport, football, cricket, basketball. I think it's all brilliant. I cannot stand American football. I think it's the most boring thing on the planet, but I tried to keep it topical, so we'll do the best American football players. And for reference, Salah is meant to be the greatest. So your 12.5 option, if a Premier League player was to play American football, and then your worst is your Nyland, your cheapest option, the person who'd be awful at it, he'd want nowhere near the pitch. Sam, what do you think?
It's just like every time we do a Salah Nyland, my Nyland is Mahrez. I can't imagine Mahrez mixing up with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. but I think quite a good player would be Kurt Zouma. I think he'd be a pretty good player. He's pretty big. He's pretty quick. And I think he certainly wouldn't look out of place, personally. So that's my Salah.
That's all right, Sam.
Sam, do either of you like American football? Have I just insulted you with my criticism of the sport?
No.
I'm not a massive fan, personally. It just felt right to do
what are the
I do watch it on occasion. I love Skip and Shannon chatting shit about
it. Yeah, see, that's the thing, is I like watching people talk about it, but when I watch it, it's not even that it's dull, it's just that it's so condensed with ad breaks that it becomes quite hard to watch.
Although so is the NBA, and I love the NBA.
Yeah, no, but I also find that tough to watch. It's unlike Midnight FPL, where we give it to you ad-free. Nothing uninterrupted. We turn down big deals.
Relentless, relentless content.
Joel,
who would be a good quarterback?
I've got a bad quarterback.
Surely Kevin De Bruyne is a good quarterback, if you're applying the same
vision. Yeah.
I don't know why I think of Jorginho, even though I don't. I just can just imagine him like sitting deep and just throwing him. It doesn't really agree with everything.
I see. This doesn't quite work, but it kind of does. I think a bad quarterback would be David De Gea, even though he throws stuff. Just like his handling awful. I can imagine the players, you know, when they like throw it back between their legs, De Gea just like fumbling it every time and kind of like getting his throws wrong and all that kind of stuff.
I think that's so off the mark. I think a goalkeeper is a quarterback.
Yeah, obviously it's so stupid because you're assuming he has better handling than, like, I don't know, like Sadio Mane. You don't know what's like. Whereas like a world-class goalkeeper is obviously going to...
I reckon Kasper Schmeichel would be really good.
Yeah, Kasper Schmeichel would be great. I could see him like loving the culture as well, as American football. Yeah.
But surely, like someone like say Maximan would be good as one of the quick people that run up top.
Oh yeah, I can imagine that.
We always say Adama Traore as well. He'd be a good.
Oh yeah.
Running back, whatever they're called.
Yeah, what they? I don't even remember what they're called.
Christian Wade, the rugby player, went and did it.
Yeah.
What about Son Heung-min? Oh, Harry Kane, Son Heung-min, Harry Kane throwing.
Oh, Harry Kane. Oh yeah.
Harry Kane
would be like Brady and. It'd be like Brady and Gronkowski or whatever it is. Those two.
They've combined touchdowns in Super Bowl history, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Son and Kane.
So that's the answer. I want Joel. I want one more Nyland as well. We can think of one. A Nyland quarterback. Someone who's Alisson based off this weekend in terms of like playing out, but again, that's a goalkeeper argument I just slated Joel for. Harry Maguire?
Yeah. For the poor coordination.
Yeah, he'd be clueless. He would just stand there like an absolute donkey and do nothing.
That's what he does in football.
Yeah, exactly.
It always comes back to like Mahrez bad because he's small, Maguire bad because he's just bad, and then like Adama Traore good because he's quick. But yeah. All right, that's enough. We're going to go back on topic and give you lots of useful advice as we answer your questions in part 4 of Midnight FPL. So this week, we actually got some questions because I asked them earlier. A lot of them are revolving around the doubles and blanks, which is all very complicated. And for someone like Joel, who finds tying his shoelaces complicated, getting his head around a load of fixture changes, was a lot. But he's tried to, and he's going to try and answer your questions. But the first one is not related to double and blanks. It's from Laz FPL. With so many teams looking template, which of these strategies can help one gain rank this season? Pick a lowly owned captain, but keep the template, or pick a differential player, but pick a popular captain. Differential players. So I have a team that's very common, but then choose rare captains, or pick a rogue team, but then choose the classic captain.
I just think, like, to gain rank, you can gain rank for like 1 week with a bad team, 1 week with a rogue captain, but like you're not going to sustain that over a period of time.
That's why you need the template team, don't you? And then you can like take gambles on captain because you want the team over a call.
No, because I think the team over I think you need to have the template team. But the reality is, if, for example, you think, oh, what a great idea, Captain Madison, like I did this week, and he does nothing, and Salah, by chance, say Salah's playing West Brom, and you think, oh, I'm not going to captain him, try and get ahead of the game, and Salah gets a hat-trick or four goals or whatever, like we know he can, you're just completely destroyed by that. You're miles behind. You're never going to recover. And that's essentially ruined your season. And
I think if you own someone and a captain, if you own Salah, that's only worth one player. If you don't own Salah and then he bangs, then I think you get a lot more. That's why I think you can take a punt on captain as long as you've got a template team, because there's only so, if you own the player that everyone else is captaining, it's not going to hurt you nearly as much than if you have a rogue team and then you don't own Fernandes when he plays West Brom and then.
Yeah, completely agree. It's more important to have the team, but I just think long. If you're looking at the long run, you're never going to catch up by captaining rogue players.
But people would think someone like Salah isn't a rogue captain, but when he blanks all the times, it doesn't really, like, you know, it's just that's the same as blanking someone like Madison. I think it's got to come down to a combination of a mix of captains. I'm not making my point very clear.
You are the epitome of this job, because you like to do a mix. You have a few like me and Sam play quite template teams, whereas you like to go a bit roguer, and then you also go a bit more rogue with your captaincy. Whereas me and Sam realistically do the odd.
Yeah, well, I have done recently because I'm trying to catch up.
That's the question.
Yeah, I think you have a template team, and then you go for a few rogue captains, but you can't get it right each week. There's no way you can get the 15-point captain each week. So you've just got to kind of...
I think punting on captains as well is like, it's quite, it means that you like are more, if everyone captain, like fantasy is ultimately about enjoying it, isn't it? So if you like Captain Madison on watch, whereas like when everyone captains the same person, it's so dull.
Yeah, I completely agree. I hate it when we all captain the same player. And I was excited about this week. Because I was captaining Madison, and although I had a lot of work to do, I had it on in the background, so it didn't affect me as badly as it probably would on a normal weekend. But the problem is, it is absolutely shocking when you make a rogue call and it doesn't come off. It's absolutely shocking. And I just think no matter how boring it is when everyone captains the same player, it's nowhere near as bad as you captaining that one player that no one else has captained and he blanks.
Yeah, it's high risk, high reward kind of thing. And I think, to be fair, the last couple game weeks there hasn't been an obvious captain choice, with like Salah not being in form and some teams having tough fixtures. But I think you've got to, the times when it's obvious who the captain should be. So if it's like Fernandes or Salah against the poor side, then go with them. But if you kind of fancy a bit of a risk like Bamford this week, then I think it's worth it if you're trying to chase people in your mini leagues or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, cool. We've got a few questions to get through. So FPL German asks one question, which is Bruno a better captain? Gundogan, we kind of already covered that. The answer we think is yes, because West Brom are terrible and Burnley, Bruno does better away and West Brom do worse at home. Then he says, is double Burnley defence a good option game 24? We kind of addressed that because Sam said, well, you said no to captain, but do you think double? I don't think it's the worst shout, especially because some of their centre backs can easily. They're good at set pieces, grab a goal.
Yeah, I think it's arrogance to captain like someone like Pope, but I think like if you've got a Burnley defender and they're blanking twice, they're still getting 4 points, which is more than someone who's blanking a normal game week with one team to play against. So I think it's generally quite a good idea to have them if you have a free transfer. If you don't have a free transfer, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, next one is a question I kind of addressed earlier by accident because I haven't seen it yet. Who are your top three favourite FPL assets of all time so far this season? So Joel, you can you can have your Harry Kane.
Of all time, yeah. The early days of Harry Kane, that was pretty special. This season, I actually haven't liked anyone. It's just been a case of me not having them and being annoying.
Sucek will earn his right. I think, can I do one? So last season, Bjorn Lundstrom, I earned from game week one. That was a great feeling. 4.5 defender. No, if he was 4.0, wasn't he defender? And did bits.
I enjoyed Calvert-Lewin the first half of this season. I loved having him. I had him in since second game week and he was just getting points after points, but he trailed off a bit. And probably this season as well, Jack Grealish. A, because he's pretty consistent with points, but also I just love watching him play. He's such a good player.
Retro shouts though. I want to have a flashback. Like Leighton Baines, I remember loving because the penalties and
Marcus
Alonso.
In Callum Wilson's first season, it might have been second season in the Prem, and he just suddenly popped off and scored loads of goals. I really enjoyed having him then. And also Robin Van Persie, I just thought he was pretty great. He scored loads of goals.
Having
Suarez as well.
Oh, Suarez,
Having double Stoke defenders with Tony Pulis, consistent clean sheets. It's like an old school like Diaz and Cancelo. You just have
way cheaper.
Mahrez the season Leicester won the league. He barely blanked.
He'd always score like the one goal as well in like a 1-0 and then that would mean to get like 11 points. But yeah, okay, yeah. We need to keep going. FPL My Way says, is it time to get back Kane? And is it time to reconsider Werner? Joel, you're the Chelsea expert. Well,
Werner, he's looking better. I think he's similar. We were talking about Loftus-Cheek earlier. He's similar to Loftus-Cheek. He's playing better. He's getting in the right positions. He just needs a goal and it will do his confidence wonders. How much is he? Is he around 9, like
8.9?
9.2. I mean, strikers have been like notoriously tricky to choose this season. And I think everyone's kind of leaning towards a slightly cheaper strikers. So he might be out of people's budgets, but personally, I'd have to wait a few more games until he actually starts getting some points. He got a few assists, but we'll see. If you want to take a risk, I think he's maybe worth taking because three victories on the bounce. So
the thing with Chelsea as well is Sam always makes the point that fixtures against, so they've got against teams like Southampton, Everton, Leeds, Man U, Newcastle. Like the kind of games where you can imagine Werner getting space in behind, like teams that might try and give it a bit of a go, and that's kind of
for him.
But
can I say about Werner that since Tuchel's come in, Chelsea have played Wolves, Burnley, Spurs without Kane, and Sheffield United. These aren't great teams to be playing against. I know Werner looks a bit better, but he still hasn't even scored in those games. Like, why are we even considering him? The fact is he's missed ridiculous chances. I've never seen players like that miss those chances before and of that regularity. He's like nine mil. Why would you spend that sort of money? It's ludicrous. I'd rather spend it on Martial. Martial's been shy, but Martial has shown more in the last few weeks than Werner has. And I know
it's because he's a 40 goal a season striker.
I know you're getting excited about him, but Martial has done more in the last few weeks. There's more reason to bring in Martial than Werner. And to answer the Kane thing, I think it is time to bring in Kane.
Kane, if you don't have Son, you need one of Son or Kane always with Son.
Yeah, I wouldn't rush into Kane if you already have Son, just because I think you need to see how Spurs go on the next couple of games. But after City, it might be time to double up again because they know what they're like when they play with each other.
If Tottenham get a double game week in 26, they play Burnley and then either Aston Villa, Fulham or Southampton. And if you don't own Kane or Son, then you would be...
Yeah.
You just don't want to be that in that situation, do you? So Kane over... I do agree, as much as I love Chelsea, Kane over Werner. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. One's the best striker in the world. The other's finding his feet still. Okay, next question comes from Mark Overington, who asks... He asks KDB/Kane back in. And KDB will wait until injury, and we kind of talked about Kane. So I'll leave that one, but then I'll ask the other one.
I think especially with Gundogan playing so well at the moment, you don't necessarily have to rush De Bruyne back into your team, especially because he's still definitely a few games away from being fit. Because if you've got Gundogan, who's six, who's getting basically the returns De Bruyne you'd expect to get, there's no rush to pay twice as much for De Bruyne. And as we said before, I think it's worth keeping an eye on Kane, especially if he gets a double. Because when he against West Brom, he missed so many chances, but he's too good at football not to have in your team.
Next one is chip strategy for game. So chip strategy, basically bench boost, wild card. What we can do?
Personally, I've been thinking about wildcarding it this week because I've looked at the run of fixtures, and it looks like there's going to be quite a few double game weeks in game week 26, and most teams are going to be playing twice. And I just sort of look at that and I think, why wait for your team to be shit like mine's been for the last few weeks until game week 26, when you could do it now and everyone's going to be playing anyway, so it won't really make a difference in terms of having to do your wild card then to get ahead of people. Why not make your team better now? But then again, if you look at game week 29, there are going to be quite a few teams not playing. And you could wait till game week 29 to use that wild card, and then that will really get you ahead of the game because a lot of people will be in a lot of trouble in that game week. So I'd say either do it as soon as possible if your team isn't looking that great, or do it going into game week 29.
And to set up for bench boost as well. So you would do that so that you could then bench boost in game week 26.
Yeah. Upon my wild card, I will bench boost.
The problem is, though, is that if you wild card for game week 29, you're then limiting yourself to only the few teams that are playing in that game.
Well, you'd have to have the shit teams that are out the FA Cup, but that does include Leeds. But also, you could, I've been thinking this because I want to, ideally, my team's in quite a good shape, so I would rather bench boost for game week 26 because I've already got the facilities for that. And then wild card so that I have enough players in game week 29 that I can make gains on people, because even if that is just owning, I don't know, Callum Wilson when Newcastle already out, people like that who you can then like kind of bear with as long as you still have the big hitters, even if they're not playing.
Yeah, I mean,
but then the thing is though, when game week 29 finishes, then what are you going to do? You're going to be stuck with a team that...
So that's what I'm saying, is you don't need to make 11 whole team built around Burnley or whoever it is. You just need, if you just make sure you've got, I don't know, you've talked about players like Sam Maximan if Newcastle are out of the cup, like you just take punts on them, and then, but then you still have, if you still have Kane or I'm sure one good team, Tottenham could easily go out of the FA Cup, couldn't they? They've got Everton, it's Tottenham, Everton or something, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess you could have like Kane.
Whoever goes out of Everton and Tottenham.
Yeah.
But Louis, I think Joel makes a really good point, because like take Sam Maximan as a hypothetical, and if you were to use your wildcard going into game week 29, would you not think that, okay, let's say Newcastle are playing and West Ham aren't, and you bring in Sam Maximan for Souček, okay, Sam Maximan's going to play. He might not do anything. Sam Maximan's good at blanking. And then the weeks after that, you got Sam Maximan over Souček, and then suddenly your team, upon your wildcard, is actually a lot worse than it was before your wildcard. Because so your team is quite good right now. You've got a good team right now. And
then what should I do then? Because I've got a good enough team. I can bench boost without a wild card. What do I do? I don't understand.
The thing is, I can see a potential demise in you. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But because I've been feeling the same way, I was sort of thinking, oh, my team's good enough, I'm just not in a wild card. And then you put it off and you put it off and you put it off. And it gets to the point where it doesn't really impact your season in the way a wild card should, especially if you use it in game week 29 when you've only got 9 more game weeks after that, and it's not going to improve your team for the game weeks after that particular game week. So you could use it now, make 4 or 5 changes, and I know that wouldn't seem so significant, but it would make your team better.
There's no one I don't own who I really desperately want to own.
All right, let me have a look.
Yeah, no.
I've got two free transfers as well, Sam, just to clarify. So that's like a mini wild card. If I don't,
you don't have Harry Kane.
But I've got Son.
Yeah, but if you could have Harry Kane, you would.
Yeah, but you can just free transfer him in.
And also, Louis, I've heard you say before you'd rather have Kane than Son. I reckon if you use your wild card now, you bring in Kane and you'd leave out Son and bring in...
I'm not playing my wild cards. That's not my...
Okay, well, I think, I think that's a transferable issue for other people, because there is a danger that you can put off your wild card and then it just doesn't have the effect that it should have. And you'll just make your team worse.
If game week 29 occurs and you, like, and let's say we both already used our wild card to get a good game week 26, like, if you get, you could literally end up getting like 4 points. And then if I, say you did that and you got 4 points and I wildcard and bring, fine, you say Sam Maximan blanks, but Tottenham, let's say, are playing and I manage to have Son Kane, or I manage to, Everton are playing and I've got DCL, Digne and, I don't know, Richarlison or something like that. I know it would make my team worse, but at least I could get like 50, 60 points in a game where you end up getting virtually none.
Yeah, but I think the reality is if Everton were playing, I wouldn't not have Calvert-Lewin. If I'd used my wildcard, I wouldn't necessarily not have Digne. If I use my wildcard now, I'd bring in Digne, I'd bring in Calvert-Lewin. If a team like Everton were playing, then there's a decent likelihood that a lot of people who aren't using their wildcard are going to have those players. Whereas if you have teams like, I don't know, Burnley or Brighton playing, then okay, you can make up ground in terms of like having Maupay or whatever, or having Barnes or having Pope. But what are you going to do with them in the weeks after? The reality is if it's Man City playing, Everton playing, Man United playing, then plenty of people are going to have players from those teams. You could even triple captain Fernandes or triple captain, I don't know, Gundogan, and make up a decent amount of points that way.
Okay, that's a good point. The crux, if I was giving genuine advice, I would say you wildcard in the upcoming weeks whenever, and then you bench boost game week 26. If you can get a full team of bench boosters for game week 26, then you should do that in a heartbeat, because that's like 15 players playing two games. That's 30 players playing a game.
That's what people should focus on for the moment, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I think game week 29 is a bit too far ahead. Obviously, some people might still have a free hit, which you obviously play it for. But it's too far away and it's too hard to predict at this point. I think you've just got to focus on this double. I mean, there's a small double 24, small double 25 and bigger double 26. Those can get some serious gains on that one. If you've got free transfers, maybe even wildcard 26, I think focus on those three game weeks, and then I think we cross the bridge to game 29 when we get to it. But it's so hard. It's so hard to play when you've got no teams playing and you're somehow expected to get a team out. So I don't think there's any... It's quite hard to know what to do at the moment. So
if you have neither, as I said, Leeds and Fulham only nail a fixture for game 29, and they'll probably both have a double. They both have a double between now and then. So... target those players.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have Bamford, Rafinha and maybe like Dallas or whoever, so I think I think people might be alright for that. But yeah, it's I think game week 29 is a bit too far ahead at the moment. We'll see.
Okay, last question. Snake FPL, also because he asked another one, that was also about chips. In your opinion on how many premium assets are essential, considering there are so many budget options playing well, which is something we always debate. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. It's difficult to say how many are essential. It's more important to just sort of name those that are essential. I think Fernandes has to be essential because so many people have him, and he's just generally involved in things when Man United have a good game. When Man United are playing well, Fernandes is right in the middle of it. I think Salah, he's expensive, but again, Man City beat Liverpool 4-1 and Salah doesn't blank. He won the penalty, he scored the penalty. It sort of reminds you of, you know, how important it is to have Salah. Even when they're not playing well, Salah's the one that does things. So I'd say Salah, Fernandes and one of Son and Kane, for me at the moment, are the premium assets are probably pretty important to own.
Would you say, what about City defenders? Definitely one is essential as
well. I sort of refrain from calling them premium assets because, you know, they're still like at most sort of 6.2. But yeah, if we're going to call them premium assets, and yeah, I'd say not only one, but maybe even two City defenders. Yeah. Are probably worth having as premium assets. So whether it's Cancelo and Diaz or...
They're not premiums because they cost the same as like...
Yeah, that's why I didn't mention it. But if we're calling them premiums, then definitely Man City defenders. Otherwise, Fernandes, Salah, and Son or Kane, I reckon.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Vardy does when he gets back.
The amount of times I banked on Leicester and they fucked it. I've had enough of them. Vardy.
Yeah. Leicester is so annoying.
I've captained him like three times and he's done fuck all. Madison the same. Yeah. Fuck them. Foul mouth.
Yeah, man. I think yeah, but I think the premiums are pretty self-explanatory. I think they're not even particularly relevant anymore. It's the cheaper players, the slightly more differential players that are the ones that are going to be kind of getting more kind of like important points than like Fernandes and Salah. It'd be silly not to have Fernandes. Also, is it like I'm thinking about triple captaining Fernandes?
What, this week?
Yeah, against West Brom.
In a single game.
Against West Brom though.
In my opinion, that is stupid. Like,
I don't know. It's not that stupid because if he has a double game week against, I don't know, West Ham and Everton, he is suddenly. I reckon he's more like outscored.
Yeah, but we're not limiting triple captains to Fernandes, and also, like I said earlier in the show. Fernandes has had a good last couple of weeks. But the reality is, I didn't watch Man United's game the weekend just gone, but I watched the game week before. And although they beat Southampton 9-0, I'd say Fernandes was one of their worst players, arguably.
He's been playing really poor.
Yeah, I just don't think he's been playing that well, mate. I mean, I wouldn't captain him. I think he's so capable of being involved in goals. I'm not going to deny that. And I think he's the right captain call. But I wouldn't triple captain him. I wouldn't risk it this week.
Triple captain's such a big call. Anytime, it's too much of a risk to want to play. So, like, anytime, it's going to be hard to...
I almost think triple captaining is such a big call. It's too much of a risk not to use it on a double game week.
Yeah, but double game weeks are—I think they're a bit of a trap because if players are getting rested or anything like that.
No, but the thing is, though, Joel, that Man United, they'll probably have a double game week in game week 26. Same with City and same with a host of other teams, and you can take your pick of players that you might want to triple captain in that week. Though. Maybe, I was going to say maybe instead of bench boosting, regardless, people will have double game weeks. You know. Again this season, and I just sort of think you're sort of bottling it if you're not using it on a double game week. If I'm honest, I just think I can so imagine it happening. Joel blanks, and you know he cries about it, and he says, "Oh, I should have used it on a double game week," and it's because it's true. You should use it on a double game week.
Aguero scored 5 against Newcastle. Imagine if you bench boost. Imagine if you triple captained him that week.
Didn't someone just say like you can only bench like if I want to bench boost on game 26 I can't use triple captain, then there's not really another time where you're going
to
use
exactly it. Then you're going to end up having to like chase some like City double or something that isn't actually that good fixtures. I think you should do it, John. I think it's fun as well.
Well, it's easy for you to say that. I'm going to one that is going to have to pay.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to fucking do it, but you can.
But West Brom have one of the worst defence in the league, and Bruno can. His goal against Everton, he can just bang it in the back of the net from anywhere.
Yeah, but that's my concern. That is exactly my concern. The fact that his two goals in the last two game weeks have been a pen. You know, Man United might not get a pen. There's been a trend of late. There have been a lot less pens being given towards the start of the season. So don't bank on that. And the fact that when he scores, he has to do it from outside the box and it has to be an unbelievable goal.
He's not getting forward as much.
He's not getting forward as much. I don't know if that's because Cavani's in the team more. I don't know. But the thing is, Fernandes doesn't seem to be in those positions as much. And when he's scoring, he seems to be scoring from outside the box or the spot.
You're kind of talking yourself out of captaining him, Sam, after you said you're going to captain him.
Yeah, the thing, I've got positives and negatives for everything. But I think he's a better option than DCL. I think he's a better option than Gundogan. I just wouldn't triple captain him.
Also, Pogba's out for a few weeks and Fernandes always plays better without Pogba. And
that's West really Brom, true. That's
yeah, you're right about
so
that.
Bad. West Brom are so bad.
Like, I honestly think it's a good call and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus.
No, yeah, no, I might do it.
Also, it could just swing your season. If he scores a hat-trick,
if he gets 15 points, cool.
Because if you do the triple captain we all do or everyone does, then you're never going to catch us.
But how are you going to... When are you going to triple captain if you're bench?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good call.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
I don't do it because I just out of caution, because I don't want the heartbreak. I'd rather just push that decision down.
The reality is Louis has more to lose than Joel. Yeah, exactly. I reckon if you don't have anything to lose, then, you know...
It's an overrated chip as well. It's just one extra captain. Like, how regularly do our captains blank anyway? And it's just essentially one extra one of those if they do blank.
My triple captain's never blanked, ever.
Nor have mine, to be fair.
Mine have always blanked.
I just do salary and double is usually my rule, and I didn't do it this time, which is fucking... Our New Year's resolution was to make this more concise, and I think today we have failed. But hopefully there's some useful content in there. For once, there's no midweek, so hopefully people have a full week to listen to this. We'll be back again next Monday to talk about more FPL. We'll be doing a little quiz as well, so hopefully you join us then. Good night. Bye.
See you later.